This morning, as I was walking out of the door of the church here, I bumped into Joel. And you guys all know Joel. He's sitting right over. He's standing right over there. Just been banging away on the drums. And I bumped into Joel, and we were chatting outside, right outside. And Joel says to me, you know, there kind of comes a time where you take these situations that are somewhat mysterious, a situation like prayer, for instance, and you just kind of go, you know, God, I don't really know how this works. I don't really know exactly how to do this, but you told me to do it. I'm doing it. And you just go ahead and pray, you know? And as I was talking with Joel outside, I walked away from that short little conversation, and I was driving home, and I was thinking, you know, in some ways, so often we take situations that God means to be so simple, that just, he just tells us, do this, and then we theologicize it. That's a new word I just made up, okay? We take it, and we add theologies to it, and we add all sorts of things to it, and we take something that's very simple yet very mysterious, and because it's mysterious along with its simplicity, we feel the great need to make it complex because it's mysterious. Because in some weird way, as a human being, we just can't sit still with mystery. And yet, in some ways, God, by his very nature, is going to demand us to sit still with mystery. Doesn't he say things like this? Now, child, be still and simply know that I am God. I mean, isn't that just enough? Just sit down and know that I am God. So, you know, I was thinking about prayer in this kind of simplicity, and I was thinking about where we've gone these last few weeks. And I don't think, at least I hope, we haven't brought complexity to a situation that should be simple. In fact, what I hope that we've done and what I hope to do tonight in kind of a little bit more of a practical fashion is to take the things that Jesus taught us that were very simple about prayer and to open them up into the practicality of your everyday life and my everyday life. Because the reality is we're going to leave these two doors, and there are a million situations out there happening around us that we want to pray about. And what I would hate to find out down the road someday is because we sat and went through the Lord's Prayer, and because we sat and talked about the things we did, that you now feel like you're in a box that you can't get out of because we've put these fences around prayer. And I don't think God ever intended fences to be around prayer. I think he just intends us to make sure that when we're praying, that our prayers are effective because we're praying according to his desire and not according to our desire. So tonight what I want to do is I'm going to take hopefully about 10 minutes here, and I'm going to recap kind of what I think I've walked through myself and my own journey over the last few weeks, what we've captured, a few things about prayer that I want to put together for you in a little sort of capsule and go, here are the things we've talked about. And then I'm going to open it up to you guys, and we're going to spend about 20 minutes talking together about real life situations and how we can apply those real life situations in prayer to the things and the principles we've already talked about. Okay? Does that make sense what we're going to do? So here, let me just recap for you real quick. When we started this journey on prayer, I think one of the very first quotes that I gave you guys was this quote that said that so often when we go to prayer, we're looking for answers, but that the actual answer to prayer is prayer itself, right? Remember that? I've simplified the quote down to simply this. The answer to prayer is prayer itself. That when we come to pray, that is the need that needs to be fulfilled. We think that when we come to pray, it is we're hoping that we're going to ask for something and that God is going to give us the something we're asking for. And yet what we've discovered, what I've discovered as we've traveled through this, is that when we enter into prayer, it is there in that place that God already begins or completes the answer to which he brings us. Why? I think part of the reason why the answer to prayer is prayer itself is because we talked about this idea that prayer, as C.S. Lewis put it, prayer is never to change God, but it is actually to change us. You've probably heard that quote. I've heard it. But as we dug into that a little bit, it's this idea of refocusing. And when you come to prayer, Your mind is scattered onto the circumstances that have been driving at you, right? I mean, you've walked into everyday life and stuff is happening and you're all flustered, and then you come into prayer and you're able to go, okay, God, let's you and me get together here and start refocusing my life so that it aligns itself with the way that you want me to be and the way that you call me to be, instead of the way that I feel like I need to be out there. So the circumstances don't necessarily change, but we change to meet those circumstances differently. So prayer begins to shape and change us. We also talked about the idea that prayer is a doorway, a window into visiting with a Savior that has gone away to prepare a place for us. Remember this last week? We talked about the idea that Christ has left this planet to go and prepare a place for us, and just like a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is a long ways away, and those few moments you get to steal away with them are just absolutely wonderful. And since Christ is not here on this planet in the flesh and blood form, he gives us this tremendous opportunity to steal away time with our bridegroom who's preparing a place for us through the doorway of prayer. So prayer is an answer to us in that it is a place where we can steal away time, it is a place where we can be changed by God in prayer, and is a place where God begins to do in our lives what we need done in order to become the people we need to be to face this life in freedom. We also talked about praying things in the name of Christ. Remember this? Because the Bible, through verses, told us that if you come and pray it in Jesus' name, that he will do it. Isn't that amazing? What an incredible promise. And so the world around it, the Christian world especially, has taken that promise and they've said, great, if we slap in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, then God's guaranteed to do it. You know, the name it and claim it theology is kind of the extreme of that, but we've all done it. And yet when we study that passage, we start realizing that in Jesus' name almost means in Jesus' stead, to pray as he would if he were there. So it is to pray it in his name. It's like when I go and sign something in somebody else's name and I'm kind of there, what do you call it when you give somebody power of attorney, right? Then when you're signing stuff for them, you're signing it in their stead, in their place. So you've got to sign it in a manner that they would if you were not there. That's why they've given you power of attorney, because they trust that you will not sign something that they wouldn't otherwise sign. That's why you don't give anyone a power of attorney in your life. And so Jesus, when he says, if you pray in my name, he boils it down to when you pray as I would pray, when you pray my will, I will give it to you. I will answer it, period. What a powerful and incredible promise. And then finally, we stepped into the Lord's Prayer and we walked through, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, sanctified be your name, highly lifted be your name. Your will be done, your kingdom come. Right here on this planet as it is in heaven. And then we stepped into, give us this day our daily bread. And we talked about Christ being our daily bread. That so often we go and we ask for a list of needs when it's actually Christ himself that should be our supply. And then we stepped into, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. And we talked about that. And then we talked about, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us instead from evil, right? So we talked about the Lord's Prayer. Now when we take all of this and we put it together, where does it take us? Where does it lead us in practice when we get out there and we want to pray? Well, I've kind of divided it up into two categories, and when I'm done with this little illustration, then we'll open it up for us to talk together, and we'll kind of examine a couple of particular areas of life and how we pray for those areas. I've broken it up into two areas. In any relationship, I think there is the giving and the receiving, right? Any relationship, those are the two basic functions, are they not? I mean, in any moment in any relationship, you are either giving or you are receiving in relationship. And relationships that are healthy, they have a fair amount of giving and receiving, right? Have you ever been in a relationship where you give, 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 and you don't receive, receive, receive? Ever been in one of those? If you have four small children, that's generally speaking how it plays out, right? Except that that's not totally true, because when I get home and my children hug me, I receive much more than they can imagine. And so that fills my tank so that I'm able to give more. So even in the most basic relationships, there is a giving and a receiving. And whenever a relationship starts leaning one way or the other, it becomes more and more unhealthy. Okay? So my question is this. Considering everything we've talked about in prayer, when I come to God, what is it that God should be receiving from me, and what is it that I should be receiving from God? That's kind of the big question on the table for me. And as I was looking at this area here, I started thinking about, as I come to God in prayer, and I want to pray according to His will, and I want to do things in a manner that is in the name of Christ, so that I know that my prayers will be answered. But then at the same time, if all I've got is the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name," it's going to get a little boring for me. Not to mention that as I go out there and I run into circumstances that happen, do I now just not ask for anything and just kind of pray that prayer? And I started realizing, no, hold on a second. If prayer is a doorway to relationship, it is a place that changes me, then God wants to receive from me whatever is going on in my heart, does He not? I mean, from a relational perspective, forget about God's will now. Forget about praying for things. God wants you to pour your heart out to Him. How do we know that? Because it's biblical. God says, when you come to me, I want you to pour your heart out to me. I want you to give. I look for a broken and contrite heart. I look for the hearts of men. I want your heart. I want you to give yourself to me. I want you to be a living sacrifice. I mean, there's all these passages that say, when you come, you are to give yourself to Him. So that means, folks, listen carefully, whatever is going on in your life, whatever feelings you have, whatever stuff you're thinking, whatever anger you're holding on to, whatever fears you hold, you are supposed to bring those to God in prayer. That does not make your prayers ineffective. That is the part of prayer where you are giving to God. You're not asking for anything, you're giving. You're saying, God, I want you to know I'm scared out of my mind. I feel unstable. I don't know what to do. My heart is broken. Please, God, will help me and save me. And God, I want you to save everyone, and I want you to heal everyone. And you start, you can just go on and on. It doesn't matter. As long as you know that during that time in prayer, it is you giving yourself away. See, it's about our heart being in the right place. You can cry out to God. You can beg from God. As long as you're coming to God saying, God, this is my time in prayer now where I'm giving myself to you. I want you to know it all. I want you to hear it out of my mouth. I want you to know how I feel. I want you to know what I want. It doesn't matter if it's part of your will because I'm not here to ask it. I just want you to know what I want. Does that make sense? And so I come to God and I cry out to Him and I fall before Him and I beg of Him and I pray and I cry and I weep and I lay my stuff out, or I'm happy. I'm so thankful for this and I'm so thankful for that and I love that and you're so great about that and you're wonderful with this, and I just go on and on and on and on. And all the time I know, God, this is my time to come into the doorway where I just get to hang out with you. And you and me, we're going to talk, and you're going to listen and I'm going to talk, and you're going to keep listening and I'm going to keep talking, and it's going to be fun. And then when you're done with that, when you're done with laying your heart out and you've given yourself, then it is your turn now in relationship to come to God and say, okay, now I need to receive from you. And that is where we step into the things we've learned. Because if you want it to be effective, then you need to pray there in a manner that is according to His will. Because now it's not about your heart anymore and giving yourself to God just as you are, which will never be fully God's will in that mess, because we are a mess. But now it's saying, God, here I am. Now I want to receive from you what I need. And then we step into this world where we start asking God specifically according to the Lord's Prayer and according to His name. And it is in that arena that we have to start asking ourselves things like that. If you're going to pray God's will, how can you guarantee that you're praying God's will? What is the only way, from a human perspective, that you can guarantee that you're praying God's will? If you pray His word. That's right. Because His word is His will. It is. There is no difference between God's will and God's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because God would never put anything in His word that wasn't His will. Because that would be plain stupid, wouldn't it? I'm going to put something in my word that isn't my will. Here we go. I want you to go and do this, but it's not what I want. I mean, that would be insane. And God doesn't do that. So if it's in His word, it is His will. So God gives us his word to be able to go to him and say, God, you said that if I come and pray anything that you would pray, that you will give me a yes answer on that. That would be I'm going to answer that prayer. So I'm going to pray whatever I know you would pray because it's in your word. And that's when it starts becoming incredibly powerful. Doesn't mean that you have to pray verbatim his word. I'll give you an example. When I go to God and I've got a big decision to make, and I come to God and I say, God, listen, I've got this huge decision to make, and I'm scared out of my mind to make it because if I make the wrong one, it's going to be really bad. So I'm going to ask you now, would you please give me wisdom to make the right decision here? And as I prepare to make the right decision, would you please make sure that as I make it, that whatever decision I make, I would make a decision that would expand your kingdom and lead to your will? Thank you, God. Now, what have I just prayed there? What does God say in James chapter 1, verse 4? He says, if any of you lacks wisdom in a trial, come and ask me, and I will give you wisdom freely. So have I just prayed God's will? God, I need wisdom in this particular circumstance to know what to do. Yes, because God told me that's exactly what I should do. So that is his will. And when I say, God, in whatever decision I make, I pray you'd help me make a decision that would expand your kingdom. Would that be God's will? Yes, because what did he say in the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done, your kingdom come. So I know I'm praying his will there. Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm in a circumstance that's happening. I pray God's will by praying God's word. And if I'm not praying God's word, in other words, it's not a black and white, I'm praying something that I might be God's will, but I'm not sure, then I slap on the end of it, God, this is my prayer, this is what I desire, but I want your will to be done. So if this happens to be your will, since I'm not sure because it's not in your word, or I haven't read that part in your word yet, please do that. But if it's not your will, just so you know, your will be done, your kingdom come. So let me ask you a question. Let's talk for a few minutes, okay? Let me give you guys a chance to throw some things out. There are a million circumstances out in life. There's a million things that you guys pray for, right? Okay, so here's your opportunity right here in this room in the next 15 minutes or so to throw out to me and to the others in the room circumstances. Say, well, what if this was the circumstance? How would I pray God's will in that circumstance and make sure that that was effective? How would I do that? This is your opportunity. So throw out some circumstances that you go, if this were true, what would we do with that? One at a time would be awesome. Yes. Thank you, Jill. Someone who's sick. Okay, I'll give you a specific example. Okay, great call there. Right now, you guys know Mike the intern, right? Okay, Mike the intern, his grandfather, early this week, 82 years old, was on the back of a pickup truck, and he was trying to tie something down, slipped, fell off the pickup truck, hit his head on the sidewalk, cracked his head open, right? So his grandmother found his grandfather unconscious. They rushed him to the hospital. They got things patched up, and he seemed fine. But then there were some blood clots that developed, and so he went into kind of a weird coma thing. So they immediately rushed him into surgery, removed his skull, did some brain surgery, removed the blood clots. Now he's laying in a hospital bed. Half of his skull is removed. His brain is swollen. And Mike just emailed me probably an hour ago saying, listen, my grandfather went into a coma. They really don't think he's going to come out. Would you please pray? Okay, somebody's sick. That's a pretty extreme example, but that's an example that actually currently exists. So where do we go with that? Where do we go with that? Say that again. Polio? Somebody has polio. There you go. So there's some diseases on this planet that are those kinds of diseases that just ravage you, you know? And it just, they're lifelong. I mean, where do we go with that? How do we pray for that? It's an open question, folks. Table's empty. Throw on. I mean, I'm happy to answer some of it, but what do you guys think? Think about God's will. We want to pray effectively for Mike and for his grandfather. Where do we even begin with that? Okay. Now, Kim says we ask him to turn it into something good somehow. Would that be God's will? Yes. Okay, you all say yes. How do you know that that's God's will? Works everything out for good. Where do you get that? Romans 8:28, right? What does Romans 8:28 say? God makes a promise in Romans 8, 28, doesn't he? He says this, I will work all things for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. So can we rightfully say, God, in this circumstance, we pray now in your name, if you will. We don't have to say in your name because we're praying what Christ would pray. So in your stead, we pray that you would work all things out in this circumstance for the good of those involved. Do you think that would be God's will? Absolutely. So can we guarantee that God would answer that prayer? Yes, you can, because he said, if you pray in the name of Jesus, in his stead, you pray according to his will, he will answer your prayer. So we can know without a shadow of a doubt that that prayer will be answered, verbatim as it is. God will work those circumstances out for the good of everyone involved. What else can we pray? Is that it? Is that all we've got? It does. Yes. Okay, so that's a great question. Can we go to the sick, lay hands on them, and say, God, right now, heal the sick and they'll be healed? Can we do that? Question on the table. We can. Okay, so what will God do in that circumstance? What? What he wants. Okay. It's never happened to me. Oh. Joel. Okay. Sure. You know, here is the interesting thing about that particular circumstance, okay? Are we commanded to take the sick, to lay hands on them, bring them to the elders, lay hands on them, pray over them? Yes, we are. So is it God's will that we do that? Yes, it is. Are we told, bring them to the elders, anoint them in oil, lay hands on them, pray for their healing? Yes. And God says, when you do that, I will heal them, right? Okay, so we naturally, in a circumstance like that, we take the jump and say, therefore, their physical healing in that circumstance must be the answer, okay? Because if you bring the sick and you pray over them, they will be healed. But what does sickness do to us most, more than the physical? Because the physical, oddly enough, on this planet, matters so much to us and so little to God, right? I mean, our physical lives are a vapor in the wind. But our life, our soul, our heart, that matters everything to God. And what does disease most often destroy? It destroys the physical, but in that process, it destroys everything, doesn't it? I mean, discouragement, fear, hopelessness, all these horrible things that destroy the soul of man. So I look at that circumstance and I go, God, it is your will to bring people together, to lay hands on them, and to pray for them to be healed. I'll do that. And you said you would heal them, so I am going to trust that you are healing them. What you plan out with that healing, what that means in your world, is something I probably couldn't possibly know. So here's, watch this now. I am going to ask that you would physically heal them. That's my desire. But I don't know for sure on this planet, when you say healing, if that's what your will plays out. I'm going to assume that it is, so I'm going to pray that, but then I'm going to end there by saying, God, just want you to know your will be done. He's an 82-year-old man, and you want him home. I'm going to pray for him to stay. He's going to stay because I told you what to do, and when he gets to die and I get to die and he's 90, he's going to slap me upside the head and say, what were you doing? I missed out on 8 good years in heaven because you told God to leave me on the planet. And then I'm going to stand there and go, I'm really sorry. So, as Joel said, the ultimate healing is the passing on from this dump into the beauty of heaven, right? So, but do we obey God in calling them together, laying hands and praying for the sick? Yes. And do we trust in God's healing in that? Absolutely. so far we've got use everything for the good and heal the sick. Heal them, bring them to healing. What about this one? Okay, let me take this a step further. Do you think that there are men and women in pain right now watching their grandfather and their father die? Let me tell you, I know they are because Mike said to me, pray for my dad and for my grandfather's wife because they are dying right now. Okay, so do you think that they, it would be God's will for them to go get on their knees if they're believers and to cry out in pain, to shake their fist at God even, go, why are you doing this? What's going on? Let me tell you something. I think that that's more than appropriate because what does God want from us? He wants our hearts, right? He wants us to come and give ourselves to him. And at the same time, it is God's desire that we would come to God to be changed. Can God change? Let me ask you that question. Can God change? Now, can he change? Can he change? Can we? What? So we can change God's mind. Okay?
But there is a scripture though that says that God is not a man who should lie.
He doesn't have to change his mind, but he can change his mind. At number 14, Moses was talking to God
yep.
about the people.
Yep.
And he said, you know, I know they're really raunchy, God, but they're your people. And I would just ask you now, don't destroy them because God was going to get rid of them.
Absolutely. Okay, so God is showing us through those examples and others that when we come to him, that he pays attention to our hearts. He pays attention to our cries. He pays attention to what we bring to him. He pays attention to us. Interestingly enough, in that circumstance, in all of those circumstances, the big question that we're going to get to ask when we die and go to heaven that I don't have an answer for is when God was dealing with us on a human level and speaking human language, when he says, I changed my mind, what that plays out to be in his world, I have no idea. Did he change his mind or did he give Moses a sense of, you know, just so you know, I'm doing this, but he already planned that Moses would be there. And, you know, it gets complex because we serve a God that is massive, right? But we do know this. We do know this without a shadow of a doubt, that when we come to God, that God's desire for us is to be changed, right? Isn't the scriptures full of that? Come to, you know, change my heart, oh God, change my mind, oh God, shape me to be like you, oh God. I mean, God says he is the potter, we are the clay. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's all these wonderful circumstances where God says, from the day you are reborn to the day that you die on this planet, I am at work in you, changing you. And yet, there is no circumstance in all of Scripture where we are at work changing God. I think even if God's mind, even if God can change his mind, we cannot change God's mind. I think God chooses to do that in certain circumstances if he does that. Through what we bring to him, God can choose to do that. But God can actually change you, whereas you can't go and change God. And God's desire is that you'd be changed. So when you come in prayer and you come to God and you walk into prayer, it is God's will that you would be changed. So can you pray, God, in the midst of these circumstances that I don't understand, that I can't fathom, that I hate, that I don't like, that bother me, and that cause me to feel like you don't even exist anymore, would you change me to meet these circumstances in a manner worthy of the gospel? Is that God's will? Absolutely. So will God answer that prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's why I say, you're praying what God already said he wants. Because his word is his will, and God said, my will for your life is to be changed. So if you pray for change, God will change you. Because God will answer that prayer without a shadow of a doubt, because he already said, if you pray my will in my name, in my stead, I will answer your prayers. So here's the interesting thing. In any circumstance that we face in life, sickness is one. Throw another circumstance out for me, another circumstance. Brooke?
Someone's salvation.
Okay, that's a very interesting one. We could be here for another hour and a half. Praying for someone's salvation. The table's open. There it is. It's completely open. Joel's leaving. He doesn't want to even hear this one. Okay. Okay.
And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Okay. Good. So what can we pray? What can we know for sure that we can pray? We can definitely pray that, because that's God's will, that we would be a light to this person, that God would use our life to bring light into their life, so we would live worthy of the gospel before them, so that they would see Christ's love through us. We can definitely pray that. Can we pray that God would empower us in the ministry of reconciliation, that we would be a powerful force in their life in bringing them to the place that God desires them to be? Yes, I absolutely think we can pray that, because that's God's will. I don't think we can pray that. I know we can. What's that? Absolutely. I think that is God's will, that he would be revealed to the world. Absolutely, no doubt about that. That they would see their need for God. That God would open their eyes to the things that they need to see. Absolutely, we can pray that, because I believe God wants their eyes to be opened. Now, in that particular circumstance, can anyone here think of a verse that God says every man's eyes should be opened? Can anyone think of a verse like that? There's certainly verses that the enemy has blinded the minds of unbelievers, no doubt about that. Is there any verse that says it is God's will that every person who's blinded should see? Okay. Okay. So now we're saying Christ has come to give sight to the blind. Okay, so that starts toying with that idea of bringing sight to the blind. So, okay, Joel? Okay, good. Okay, now watch this, okay? Watch this. It's 7 o'clock. So we will continue this discussion next week, because there's a lot more to go into all of this stuff on prayer. And this is what I want to do. I want to get into the practicality of how you pray God's will into life. In this particular circumstance of salvation, we will continue that discussion next week. But I will say this, okay? One of the things I challenge you to do this week is go home and dig. Dig for a little bit through God's word and see exactly what he says, specifically in his word, about his desire for salvation. Study those verses and passages about salvation and start determining what you can pray is God's will and what you need to pray, God, we desire this, but your will be done. There is a big difference between the two. Do you see where I'm getting at? And so what we need to do, but do you see what's happening here? See, if you want to pray effectively, practically speaking, you've got two things you've got to do. Okay? These are the two things you have to do, and your prayers will be effective. One, you have to take whatever's in your life and give it to God. That means you've got the freedom to cry out and to lash out and do whatever else you need to do, because God wants you to come to him authentically, real, just you. Here's what I feel. Here's what's going on. Just as any father, any parent wants their child to come and throw up all over them in terms of verbally. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I want to know everything that goes on in my daughter's heart, everything. I don't want her to hide anything from me. That's my desire. That's God's desire. That's the one thing. And the second thing is that when you pray for God to give to you, that you make sure that you are dedicating yourself to knowing what God's word says so that you know what God's will is. We just sat here and we went, well, what does God really say about salvation? Well, he says this and he says that. Yeah, that's good. So let's dig into those and find out what can we definitely pray and say, God, look, we know this is your will. We know that. So we're praying this in your name because it's your will and we know you're going to answer this prayer. And what do we have to go? God, we desire this, but your will be done. Because there's got to be black and white lines there. Because for instance, if it was God's will, biblically, that if we laid hands on the sick and prayed for them, they would be physically healed, then either God doesn't exist or we don't follow Christ. Because we've done that. I've done that. And they weren't physically healed. Some have been, some haven't. But the reality is that you look at that and go, okay, God, I want to go back to Scripture and find out exactly what you're saying about this. Because you have made this promise. Whatever you pray, according to my will, I will give to you. Done. So now I want to start making sure that all of my prayers, best I can figure out, are according to God's will. Because then I can guarantee that he'll answer those prayers. So one thing, just to finish out tonight as we step into heading out of here. There are certain principles in Scripture that apply to every situation, okay? I'll give you an example of one. Kim brought it up. God, would you work all things for the good in this circumstance for those involved that are called according to your purpose? So God does not promise that he'll work all things out for the good of all human beings. He says, I'll work all things out for the good of those who are called according to my purpose, right? So I pray for that particular thing. There are numerous other principles like that verse that apply to every and any circumstance. If you want to pray effectively for every circumstance on this planet, get to know those principles. Go and find them, folks. You've memorized some of these verses already. Go and find them and memorize them, put them on pieces of paper, write them on your prayer closet, put them in your mirror in your bathroom, do whatever you have to so that you are surrounded by principles directly out of God's word that say, in any circumstance, you can pray these things. Can you imagine how effective your prayers would become if every time you went to the Lord to ask for anything that you already had in your mind a long list of principles directly out of his word that applied to every circumstance and you could pick from them. God, I pray this and this and this and this for this circumstance and I know they're all part of your will. What would God begin to do in our lives, through our lives, in the lives of others? Well, I'll tell you what God will begin to do. He'll begin to answer every one of the prayers we ask for, every one of them. And we'll see our prayers become effective. And that's what I want for you guys, and that's what I want for me. That we have the freedom to pray whatever we want when we're giving ourselves to God. And we have the boundaries of praying God's will alone when we're praying for God to give back to us. See the difference there? And if we go into prayer with that attitude, then I believe that prayer will change us so significantly that will become the people we desire to be before God. So, on that note, I'm going to open up the floor. We've got about 5 more minutes before we need to close shop. I'm going to open up the floor. You guys just, if there's a few of you out there that just want to pray tonight, you pray, and in about 4 or 5 minutes, I will close us in a word of prayer, and then we will go from there. If you pray, please pray nice and loudly so we can hear you. Lord God, we just stand in awe of you. We desire with all of our hearts that everything we would say and do would bring sanctification and honor to your name. God, it is our desire that you would be high and lifted up through our lives and through our unity together. God, we just stand before this great mystery of prayer, somewhat in awe of it all, God, knowing that you've given it to us for so many different purposes. And God, we probably in a lifetime won't fully understand the power and wonder of prayer. But as you give us little pieces at a time, we just pray right now that you would give us the clarity and the insight and the wisdom we need to utilize this gift to its most effective manner. God, as others have prayed tonight, reveal your will to us through your word, that we might pray your will into the lives of the people around us and into our own life, that we might see you answer our prayers according to your promises, because we are praying according to your name and for the honor of your name. God, we confess to you this night that we fail you and have failed you. And we ask you now that you would help us to forgive the debts of those who have failed us as you have forgiven the debts that we have failed you in. And we ask as we leave this place that in every circumstance, in every opportunity we have this week, that you would deliver us from temptation and that you would keep us from evil so that we would not find ourselves doing things that would not honor your name. God, it is our desire and it is your will that we would conform to the likeness of Christ Jesus. And so we ask that you would conform us to your likeness. Whatever you need to do in us to do that, we ask that now, according to your will. And we ask these things for the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. In the next few weeks, next week we'll continue this discussion, which will lead us into the last part of prayer, which is the problems of prayer. We're going to be looking at numerous theologies out there, from the prayer of Jabez to other things that have been thrown out there. And we're going to look at what those things are and what they mean and what works and what doesn't and how they fit and how they don't. And then I'm going to kind of transition out of this series right into kind of where we're already going with all this fun stuff, which is I'd like to spend some time over the next few weeks on Sunday nights looking at untouched topics, if you will. We're going to look at homosexuality. We're going to look at God's sovereignty. We're going to look at some other areas in the Bible that just are controversial and out there that people don't like to deal with very much, and we're going to deal with them. Some of them will take us 2 or 3 weeks. Some of them will take us 2 or 3 minutes. Some of them will take us 2 or 3 months, maybe. Who knows? But this is the format in which I want to do that. It's a format where we're going to talk. We're going to throw things out. Some weeks I'll talk. Some weeks you'll talk. Some weeks we'll talk. But we're just going to deal with a couple of things that we just kind of all tend to leave alone because they're just too hard to deal with. And I hope in the end, just as Joel prayed, that we would walk out of these doors knowing what is black and white, knowing what is gray, knowing what is mysterious, and knowing what is not, and being able to live in the wonder of all of that together as we walk into the Christ-likeness that we desire. So thank you guys so much for being here tonight. Head on out there. Josh, are we doing extended worship tonight? Great. Okay. So those of you that are staying for extended worship, which, by the way, has been just an unbelievable time for people to pray and to worship and to just be intimate with God, feel free to stay in the sanctuary. The rest of you, if you're not staying for extended worship, please head on out those doors so that those who are staying can be preparing their hearts for that time. And thank you again for being here. Pick up your kids on your way out, please, before you hang out.